A Fire is Promised, Part 1. Our memory text emphasizes, concerning this salvation, the prophets who spoke of the grace that was to come to you, searched intently and with greatest care. So the prophets that spoke of the coming salvation talked about grace. When the time had come for the Messiah to arrive, Isaiah's prophecies confirmed that Jesus was the fulfillment of the sinner's hope. So the basis of hope that was accepted by faith at the coming of grace had long before been predicted. Part number one. Prophecies reveal Christ. I think we should ponder 1 Peter 1:10 to 12 a great deal. Peter here is telling us that the prophets who predicted the coming of Jesus had to search their own writings to find the time and the content of the meaning, even though they were predicting it. And then it was revealed to them that it was not to themselves or to their times that they were making this prophecy, but as Peter says, for us who lived hundreds and hundreds of years later. So the prophets had to search in their own books the meaning of what they said, and they did not understand it. The understanding came at the fulfillment, that when it is come to pass, you might believe. Now these prophets predicted salvation. They predicted the content of salvation, how it would work, what it would do, what kind of a savior, how he would minister. They signified the time when he would come. They pointed out the suffering of the Messiah and the glory that would follow. That Christ should suffer and then enter into glory. And Jesus told them on the way to Emmaus and in the upper room that Moses, in the prophets, and in the poetical books of the Bible, that is the entire scriptures, predicted these things. And even though it was predicted, they did not fully understand. It was only after the event that Jesus opened their eyes so that they could see and discern. Part number two, the promised child. In Genesis 3:15, the seed of the woman was promised. Eve didn't understand. She thought that her first son, Cain, was the Lord. I've gotten a man, the Lord. She thought that her son, Cain, was the Messiah. But instead of giving life, he was the first murderer. Her misunderstanding was perpetuated in every generation. It was not until Jesus was born that mankind began to understand something more fully. Paul tells us that the promise was made to Abraham and his seed in the singular, and not in the plural, not to seeds, but to one, that is Jesus Christ. People who sat in darkness saw a great light. I am the light of the world. This light that Isaiah had predicted was fulfilled by Jesus. In his first manifesto, he says, I am the light. You are the light if you let me shine through you. Isaiah also predicted that a child would be born, that he would come as the light in the darkness of this world. Even in light, we cannot see unless we open our eyes and concentrate and learn. So while Jesus Christ is shining, the light is shining, unless we open our eyes to see that light, to concentrate on what it is illuminating, we will be like the scribes and Pharisees who, with the light shining right there, continued to walk in darkness. Now they thought he would be a ruler. They didn't realize that he would rule within the realm of the spirit. They thought that he would be a king. They didn't realize that he must find them as a subject. He must be king in their lives. That he would show compassion as a counselor. That he would be to them an everlasting father. That he would bring peace. They expected him to be a war champion. But Jesus came in a way totally unexpected. They made the Messiah in their own likeness to fulfill their own ideals, and had built up a mythical figure in their minds, just like idolaters make their gods in their own likeness. The qualities that they want to exhibit, they make into their idols. Jesus Christ came and upset their ideas, and so they were not really willing to accept him. Part number 3, a work of preparation. In order to recognize the Messiah, Jesus Christ, centuries before, through his prophets, revealed that his precursor, a messenger, would be sent before his face. Isaiah predicted that a voice would cry, "In the wilderness prepare a way for God. In the desert make a highway for our Lord." So when John came to preach, he preached in the wilderness. And there, away from the haunts of men, away from the marts of commerce, they were to think and pray and prepare for the coming of the Messiah. So the voice that cried, "In the wilderness prepare," preceded the coming of the Messiah. When a president today or some head of state is making a journey into a foreign country, his secret service agents and his representatives, his bodyguards, go ahead and prepare a way for him. His PR man makes sure that the right people are at the right place to meet him with the right approach. John the Baptist was to prepare the way for the coming of the King. In mercy, a day spring shines forth in the darkness of our hearts, saying, "Get ready, the light is here, repent." They were saying, "We have Abraham to our father." He says, "Show the works of Abraham. Do the acts of obedience and surrender and submission, following that Abraham displayed. Every mountain obstructing the pathway, the highway, should be bulldozed away." This preparatory ministry, John the Baptist carried through. He was a representative of the Holy Spirit, who prepares in our hearts a mood to receive, even before we think. "Before you call, I will answer." The Spirit convinces every man, every woman that has ever come into the world. Just as John was to go forth as a messenger to bring men the light of God, he must give a new direction to their thoughts, impress them with the holiness of God's requirements in his law, their need for his perfect righteousness. And today the Holy Spirit is doing the same thing. He convinces of sin. He brings to us a vision of the righteousness of God, our need to face the judgment unafraid. Then he gives us faith to respond and power of his grace to live these principles out in our lives. Part number 4, characteristics of the Messiah. God's purpose would be to show that the Messiah that was come was fulfilling all sorts of prophecies that had been given before. He was to be the seed of the woman. He was to be the seed of Abraham. He was to come from the root or the stump of Jesse. He would partake of a branch that would grow out of David. So, this Messiah must come through a certain genealogical line. That's why both Matthew, the legal, and Luke, the physical, genealogical, forebears are presented to us. So the characteristic of the Messiah is that he would be the seed who would come down through the ages. Now what would he do? He would reign in justice. He would be the Lord our righteousness. He would be like a lion of the tribe of Judah. He would be a savior. And the Spirit of God would fill him with wisdom, understanding, counsel, knowledge, and fear of the Lord. So in Jesus, all these characteristics were seen. He was of the house of David, of Abraham. He was full of wisdom, understanding, counsel, knowledge. Everyone who listened to him said, "Where did he get this knowledge? How does he have this understanding? Where did this wisdom come from?" So Jesus fulfilled every detail that was required of the Messiah. Part number 5. What was his mission? He would be the servant of God, filled with the Spirit. He would be a light to the Gentiles. That is, his shining would not be restricted to the Jewish people alone. He would be a light to the Gentiles, unrestricted, accepting any man from any race. His disposition would be quiet. He would not cry nor shout. Gentle, sweet voice. He would be compassionate. He would not extinguish the smoking flax, wick, or the bruised reed. He would establish justice in the earth. He would put a magnifying glass over the law so that we could see details that in our myopia we would miss. And in all his actions, he would be honorable, producing justice on earth. What is justice? Justice is giving to every person and everything what is due. What is due? To somebody who is weak, to somebody who is sick, to somebody who is lost. What is due to this planet that God has given to us? We cannot destroy it, or bruise it, or put on top of it our own wills and determination. Jesus Christ fulfilled all these requirements. Part number 6. Christ will not be like the teachers of his day. Ostentatious, show, parade, that was not his way. The very ones who needed help, the afflicted, the distressed, were treated by those who should have treated them otherwise with words of censure and rebuke. Jesus didn't do anything of that. The dimly burning wick of faith and hope, he encouraged, not quenched. He fed the flock like a shepherd, gathered the lambs with his arms, and carried them in his bosom. So different was he from the myth that they had built up as to what the Messiah would be like, that they missed him.